football on off the ball.
There weren't huge chances or anything like that, but we looked like the team in the ascendancy. We looked like we were at it. Fine margins, kind of losing 50-50s in decision in our box, and to go into one down at half time, you were kind of scratching your head.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 140 of The Racing Pod on Off the Ball. John Duggan and Johnny Ward, remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, bit of crack as well. And a reminder, folks, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is free every week wherever you get your podcasts. Johnny, how is the form?
Good, JD. Apologies for that tip last week. I'm still totally bemused by jockey bookings from that race at Nace. Declan McDonough's Mount Bowo never finished sixth. Actually ran very well, hung the whole way up the straight. Apologies for those who followed in. He's definitely a horse to follow. I think people used to say about me, back my horses the day after I tipped them. Hopefully he might be with him. I don't know where he's going to go next, but it was just disappointing because there wasn't really much money for him either.
What does the sun do?
What does the sun do?
It rises every morning.
Yeah.
There's always another day.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
One thing that we can say will remain constant in this world is day and night. And the sun will rise in the morning. Yeah. Plenty of that lately.
I'm excited about the Racing Pod live event that we have, Johnny, with William Hill at the Galway Races. So it's on the Tuesday, folks, the 28th of July, before racing. It's at 2 o'clock at Mary Mullins Pub in Galway City. So joining Johnny and I will be the former Cheltenham Gold Cup and Grand National winning jockey Barry Geraghty, who's a William Hill ambassador, the ex-Galway hurdle winning trainer Paul Nolan, special guest Joe Canning, one of the greatest hurlers ever to come out of Galway, All-Ireland winner. And tickets are limited, so don't delay, folks. You can get your tickets at offtheball.com/events.
Brilliant lineup, JD. You know, this will be a limited enough capacity. I would advise people to get involved in this because, like, that lineup is top class. Like, even if we could probably split the hour and a half into hurling for 45 minutes.
Yes, race. Paul Nolan had a bit of a hurling.
Paul Nolan was a good hurler, knows hurling very well. A low ebb for Wexford at the moment. Leinster's been funny this year. Kilkenny and Wexford finishing fourth and fifth, was it, in the groups. But Joe will be buzzing. You know, he's
imagine Galway win the All Ireland and Joe is there.
Yeah. Joe Canning, where are you, Joe Canning? I wrote an article for the Match Program and the Match just saying it's kind of strange for players that, like, it must be really strange to know, especially say the likes of our lads retired recently, they could be there but they're just not. And that experience, like Joe's goal in 2012 when he went on the run in the final in the first game against Kilkenny, like the noise that day. And, you know, I'd say it's, Joe is fine in retirement, but I'd say it's a little bit difficult. But at the same time, what a crew, like, and It's the Tuesday of the Galway races. It's a great time to be alive.
People going later that day to the races. Everything is pristine and fresh. No losers yet. Maybe you've just settled in, got there maybe in the morning or at the races for the low-key kind of opener on Monday evening. So great racing to look forward to at Galway, Johnny. And yeah, the 2012 drawn final was one of the best games of hurling I've ever seen.
Mm.
Henry Shefflin's performance in that drawn final, I think, was the Roy Keane Juventus performance I've ever seen.
And it's like, it's funny, if 2017 hadn't happened, maybe Ollie Canning and Joe would never have had an All-Ireland for the county anyway, which would have been a real sporting travesty. But, you know, when Galway fans used to get annoyed with the hurlers, they'd say, sure, at least they'll be out of the championship in time for the races, right? But they might have done that now with the new format and actually have won Liam McCarthy.
We're looking forward to talking.
I don't think it'll happen, but...
Well, Joe's involved in the syndicate as well, so we're looking forward to talking to Joe about that. That is on the 28th of July.
And Barry's a great lad as well. And we'll have a good chat. Like, I'm not selling it too much here, but we will have... Mary Mullins, a great venue. The proprietor, Mary Mullins, is a big lover of horses as well. So we're going to have a go.
Offtheball.com/events to get your tickets. And don't miss out because they could be gone before we talk about it again. I think, folks, if you're going to get involved in horse racing form study, form analysis, you have to read the comments of trainers and jockeys, I think, through the Racing Post or whatever medium you want to get it after racing. Aidan O'Brien, after Sandown's Eclipse, Group 1 last week when Constitution River won, quotes here, Ryan, this is Ryan Moore, said he doesn't think he's ridden a better horse.
Mm.
That is some statement for a jockey who's ridden Workforce to win the Derby and the Ark, who's ridden City of Troy, who Aidan O'Brien thought was his best horse ever. Found, won an Ark. Rule of the World Derby. Mm. So many horses, Mini Hawk.
Yeah, Aidan has definitely gotten more excitable, I suppose, in post-race interviews than was the case. Like, the comments he made after the Derby, before the Irish Derby, about Benvenuto Cellini, that he'd lost he'd no faith in the horse. That's as negative as I've ever heard him about a horse. But generally, he usedn't necessarily be full of praise for his horse. But in recent years, that's become more of a thing. But I've never heard him say something like Ryan said that. He does say Ryan said this, but he doesn't say Ryan said this is might be the best horse basically that I've ridden. So it's very exciting. I'd say he's ahead of Benvenuto Cellini, but if he comes up against Ombudsman next, which I suspect he will, he's not going to be favoured. So that's going to be amazing clash.
But that quote says to me, back this horse now, where he's going. Would he get the Arc trip?
I think he'd get a mile and a half, yeah. And
so then is he not on, he's got to turn a foot. Obviously now it seems in hindsight that the French Derby draw was bad and he came in spite of it, he won. And then he put it to bed pretty easily. And maybe it wasn't a big field, best field that he ever beat in the Eclipse last week. But to say that about a horse, that they've had so much talent in that yard in Ballydoyle, elite talent, that says to me this horse could be actually overpriced now going forward.
Yeah.
In future races.
I suppose like he kind of...
Because he didn't win at Epsom. People are really French. Because a lot of people don't see the French Derby.
Yeah, I suspect he's the best horse they have. I suspect of certainly, I'd say he's better than Benvenuto Cellini, who's not a bad horse. But like the Irish Derby was an okay race. The Eclipse wasn't a great race. Like in the context of Eclipse, if you've no older horses, won a Group 1, that's a bit of a problem. But the French Derby form was there, and there's no doubt he was more impressive. Like I couldn't really see what was going to stop him getting into a reasonable passage in the race. As it happens, it was slightly messy tactically for him. There's still a suspicion. I don't know when he hits the front. Is he? I think there's more in the locker with this horse. Just looking at him, he's not visually awesome necessarily, but he's so strong and powerful. And if we were to see him taking on, say, like Mini Hawk, Benvenuto Cellini, and maybe an older horse or two in the Champion Stakes at Leopardstown, like we could really be able to build up that Champions Weekend, Champions Festival as something special. But this idea of him taking on Ombudsman, taking the Ireland versus England, the two powerhouse owners taking on each other, you know, and there's been no lack of animosity over the years, it'd be fantastic for racing. I think this stuff wipes the floor with the jumps for me. It just does. It's phenomenal. And so much is involved in how the race works out and tactics. And there will be an awful lot of people cheering him on because they're Irish, and he's not going to be favoured against Ombudsman, certainly not in the antipost market.
I woke up in a state of confusion having watched on Thursday the races back at the July meeting at Newmarket, Inner City Blues and Rebels Romance winning Group 2 races for Charlie Appleby and William Buick. But Newmarket, even the July course, is still a right-handed course, but I think the camera is on the left side. Mm. So it's right. Do you get me?
Yeah, I've not been there. I have asked people about this week, the July course. I'm sure, I was in England yesterday. And we'll talk about York as well. I mean, the watering that they must have to do at the moment is off the charts. And even
the Sandown looked like it was something from the 70s. It was blazing.
Yeah,
it's almost getting brown in the ground.
Yeah, if it's not watered, it's parched and it's tough. But yeah, it's a great meeting, this July meeting, and we've really good racing. And Charlie Appleby, he tends to do very well at this meeting, and he's already shown that he's back in form. And you know, his numbers this year aren't great. May and June, not great. Very low by his standards. But he's of the opinion sort of that his horses just aren't, he doesn't have a proper star, maybe of the three-year-old generation anyway.
So on Saturday at Newmarket, good to firm ground, but they're trying to do their best to probably even keep it at that. Mm. I'm interested in the Charlie Appleby angle because this is a superlative stakes Group 2 over 7 furlongs, 7 runners at 4 o'clock for two-year-olds. It looks like it is a Ballydoyle versus a Godolphin matchup again here. You have Abraham Lincoln for Ballydoyle, impressive winner of a 6 furlong maiden at the Curragh last month. Aidan O'Brien thinks a lot of him. Unlikely Coolmore would have wasted a name on a dud like Abraham Lincoln.
Totally.
And then another horse then, Al Hudaybah, if that's the right way to pronounce it, for the Godolphin Colours, course and distance winner. Yard has won the last two runnings of the race, has also had winners, as we know this week, likely to be in the frame. Is it between the two?
Not necessarily. Like Abraham Lincoln, he gets a big, big form boost or otherwise in the first race because Hafner, who he beat at the Curragh, and it's a strange quirk of how this is working out. But if you want to back Anton in this race, you have to watch the first race because Hafner, who was second at the Curragh, will bid to score in the first race for Aidan O'Brien. So he's given you a very early idea of what the form amounts to. And that race at 1:40, so more than 2 hours before they go to post for the superlative stakes, you'll have an idea with Abraham Lincoln. I think they came here last year with Italy, and Charlie Appleby won this with a 6-1 second string last year. It was quite an interesting race, but this is not a two-horse race, JD. If there's one yard that I would not avoid like the plague, but just a yard. I could never figure out Mark Johnson and in terms of his horses, and I wouldn't be alone in that. They're kind of honestly campaigned, but they're hard to predict. And Pikachu was beaten less than two lengths by Nola Sol at Ascot. He was 20-1 that day, and he's a maiden. This is a horse by Frankel out of Baca Bacchiata. He's 10-1. He's definitely not out of this. You shouldn't just be assuming Abraham Lincoln on form, he doesn't deserve to be odds on, and I can't put him up as odds on. I'd be waiting for him to drift a bit, but I like what you're saying, and this is real mug talk, but they don't call a bad horse Abraham Lincoln. They just don't. Like, I mean, and he is alive and well tomorrow in the Superlative Stakes.
Who makes the decisions around the names? I'd love to know.
Supposedly Sue Magner.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Supposedly Sue Magner, who's a bit of a mysterious woman. We don't hear that much of her, but she is involved in the naming, and obviously it comes from the most regal of heritage, being a daughter of Vincent O'Brien.
Yes, the greatest. Mm. Sue Magner had owned Attitude Adjuster, who won the 1986 Fox Hunters.
Is that Mouse or who trained it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Ted Waltrow.
Yeah.
What a combination of
Mouse
legends.
And Ted, they are two. Yeah, that's
Magner
40 years ago.
Yeah.
She's you know, the whole story of flat horses at that level is fascinating. Like, why do you name a horse? There were some good horses winning. Abraham Lincoln, Alpha. There's another horse that won the other day.
Well, obviously, City of Troy is a good name.
Yeah, it's and like
Galileo,
Giant's Causeway, like Rock of Gibraltar. These are so evocative. And like a name, the horse doesn't really. The horse might have a pet name in the yard, but when you attach a name like that, it really brings the horse.
You have to bring grandeur sometimes to it.
Yeah.
So if you had, say, 5 million, you were just given 5 million quid, and you said, "I'm going to invest in your horses," what would you call them? Have you any name? Have you got, like, even your next horse? Have you got a name picked out yet?
I only had the chance once in, because obviously the horse has to be unraced and unnamed when you, if you breed it, that's fine, but if you buy the horse, you have to buy it as a store horse or a yearling. And I called the horse Dancer from the Dance, because it's a famous line and it just fits into the 18 characters. But the horse didn't turn out to be any good. You'd want, if you were to give a good name for a horse, that's an interesting one. I'll try to come up with something by the end of the show, JD. Yeah. Yeah. It has to fit into 18 characters.
Award-winning media.
That'd be a 0-60 horse anyway. Yeah. What would you call it?
I always had in my head, if you like The Simpsons, Principal Skinner.
Principal Skinner.
But that's once again, that's a 0-60 horse. My dad actually, long gone now, but he used to run dogs at Shelburne Park. He used to own dogs and they ran at Shelburne Park. And he used to work at a department store, and he called one of his dogs, who was actually very good, he sold him to England, called Snuggle Down. This was a duvet.
Okay, in the department store. It's funny.
And another one, he called his dog Dan's Available.
Dan's Available.
My dad, because he's always available to help you out with whatever you're getting that day in the department store.
Lovely.
Yeah, and he always got Trap 4 at Shelburne Park. Always got Trap 4. Dan's Available. He was a decent
guy. Yeah, and Trap 4 was the coffin box. It was really tough.
That's it, yeah.
My cousin from the States, Kaylee, was over this week, and I always remind her of the story of when her dad brought us out in the boat off New York, and a boat came along, and the name of the boat, I saw the guy passing the boat, and the name of the boat was Ruthless. And I said, it's a very strange name for a boat. And he said to me, well, the guy who owns that boat, he was in quite an acrimonious divorce, and her name was Ruth. And he bought that boat afterwards. Isn't that a good name? That's how you deal with an acrimonious divorce.
There's so many things there. There's the ruthless nature of the split. The Ruth is no longer there. I'm sure she's a very nice lady. Mm. Ruthless.
If Ruth happens to listen into this, yeah, it's not you we're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
But good name, yeah. I'll have to think of... nothing's coming to my mind now, but I'll never own that. I'll never own an Abraham Lincoln.
Well, if you keep doing your millions, you might.
Mm.
The July Cup at Newmarket on Saturday, the big race the weekend, the Group 1 over 6 furlongs, 11 runners, 4:35 is the post time. Look, is Santono Rev going to do it eventually? Like, a top sprinter from Japan has been unlucky, you'd have to say, now to finish second twice in the QE2 Jubilee Stakes or Alaska. Ryan Moore rode last time, beaten a nose by Almarac, who reopposes it this time. Perhaps he could be more fortunate here. There's also money from Sam Norris and William Hill will be on in a moment to check, but... Santono Revo, generally 130 shot, refined for favouritism with Venetian Sun.
Yeah, Comanche Brave was the gamble in that race, finished seventh in the Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes, and I think he was a lot bigger. Like, he was 33-1, went off 15-2. It wasn't a particularly good race for him. He was kind of prominent, and he looks to me like a horse that wants him to go hard. And I felt his Curragh run when he beat Big Gossie was a brilliant performance. Like, he was huge gamble that day. There was a lot of support behind him, and his form ties in with Yak King Rising. This is an interesting race as well for the Whirlpool, because just to keep an eye on it, they'd probably back this horse. So keep an eye on the market. But if I be with William Hill here on the 18-1 Comanche Brave each way, because he's still very, very unexposed as a sprinter, I'm slightly worried about the smallish field. And
but why would he beat Amarak and Santana?
If they go harder, like, they didn't go hard, and he's still new to this game, and he didn't run badly. He was beaten like two lengths. He's a way, way bigger price. He should be still improving. The fact that Dunica, like, doesn't shy away from this race, straight over to another Group 1. This was won by a filly at 50s last year for Richard Hughes, whose name escapes me, but he's definitely not without chance. I'm not sure what to make of Mission Central, because I remember when he ran at Nace, he was sent off 13-2, and he drifted that day, and I was mad keen to take him on. But he's followed up twice since. He doesn't seem to be a horse that they really sort of are, you know, hugely boastful about. But, like, he does look like, given his form last year and the way he raced, he does look like he'll improve for 6 furlongs. So we have a weird situation here where we have two Irish horses with a big chance. Division definitely has a chance. Well, it has to reverse form with Venetian Sun, but I wouldn't say there'd be much in that. Venetian Sun, I don't know when JD last, a 3-year-old filly, won this race last. She's surely up against it.
Submission Central is interesting because I think he'll stay. He's won over 6 furlongs, so there's not any issue there. Group 1 winner. And I watched that race live in the day at Royal Ascot, and he came from from the clouds to win on the line. So, and they went hard. So maybe actually there's no issue going for 6, an easier 6.
I think he won 3 times as a 2-year-old at 6.
Yeah.
And that race, he wasn't able to go any faster. So, like, he was brilliantly ridden by Ryan Moore. Big Mojo has a chance. Well,
see, the interesting thing about Big Mojo, I just mention him because he was second in this last year, beating a neck. He went to Goodwood and he ran over 5 furlongs, a furlong shorter. And then William Buick rode him to win a Group 1 over 6 at Haydock. And William Buick is back in the saddle today. The only time he's ridden is when he won that Group 1.
Mm.
And he's had a 5-furlong run at Royal Ascot last time, maybe to sharpen him up for this. So he is definitely an interesting... If you want to have a bet on Big Mojo each way, I wouldn't put... And there's actually money for him as well. He's into 9s. And wouldn't put anybody off him.
I don't know what they're going to do. Will they split? Because it's not that big of a field, which would be a bit of a concern for some of them. Will they split into 2 different groups, even with 11 runners? Don't know. I'm really looking forward to this race. I think it's hard to be confident about necessarily anything in it.
But what about Almarak? How do you see Almarak?
Almarak just has to reverse form, maintain form with Santona Rev, but very, very solid as well. Haggis' horse in good form. He wouldn't have that many sprinters. Really solid. Only a 4-year-old, still improving. One thing about Comanche Brave as well, I'm not saying Pierre-Charles Boudot gave a bad ride the last year. I don't think he really did anything wrong, but Billy Lucknan rides for the first time. It's going to be interesting.
Double Rush, Prince of India, Keen Alta, I don't fancy any of them.
Yeah, just I suppose the one double Rush would have a bit of a chance, but the outsiders, I think there's enough form in the race. It mightn't be a vintage race, but it's a good race.
So Venetian Sun, right, so she won the Group 1 at Royal Ascot, the Commonwealth Cup. She's Group 1 winner at Dover last year, a course and distance winner at the July course at Newmarket here, and she receives the weight allowances. So I know you say it's going to be difficult for her, but do you think she's up against a better class?
So she won the Commonwealth Cup when division was third, and the Commonwealth Cup is a race introduced a few years ago for 6 furlong 3-year-olds, and it's a good race. She was sent off 11-8 favourite that day, well backed. This is way tougher, like way, way tougher. So I'd be surprised. I mean, I definitely wouldn't make her favourite. Definitely wouldn't make her favourite. Taking a 3-year-old filly taking on older sprinters, very good older sprinters, is a massive challenge, whatever about the weight.
I think I'd be coming down either with Santona Rev, who's the oldest horse in the race, or Big Mojo. But the one, actually, if you're looking for an outsider and is a drifter, is Coppel at 40-1. Now, this horse was Group 2 winner at Goodwood over the distance last year. He's only a 3-year-old, so obviously improvement is on the cards. Then third in a Group 1 over the Roadie Mile at Newmarket. 8th in that Commonwealth Cup, Royal Ascot Cup. He was first in his group.
Yeah.
So he was on the wrong side of the course in terms of where the pace was. And 40-1, I don't think it can be discounted at a price when you get each way three. But I'm probably going to go with Santona Rev, I'd say, is my selection.
Yeah, Coppel is definitely interesting because, like, and 3-year-olds do win this race, 3-year-olds. Coles to win this race, and he's a big price for Safi Osborne, who obviously her dad was in the news lately. Safi's a very good rider, rides the first time for Clive Cox. Fascinating renewal.
And your selection is?
My selection is Comanche Brave at the prices. He's going to be, yeah.
It's very telling New York price. 18-1.
Came in 18-1. Definite chance. Obviously, at 18-1, the horse is unlikely to win, but you should get a good run.
Let's go to York then on Saturday. So we have this Silver Cup Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile and six. So this is a... We're going to get into the handicap after that, but just get into this group race at York on Saturday at 4:55. You have Mount Atlas in there as the 6-4 favourite. Table Talk, Arabian Force is drifting, Epic Poet, Duke of Oxford and Peace Bell.
If ever there were no bet race, like I put up Epic Poet the last day, very reliable horse, ran a shocker behind Gregory and Table Talk and Mount Atlas. I do wonder, is he a horse that might be slightly better on soft ground? So I can't have him on good to firm. He's won on good firm, but he's by Loop de Vega, and he also has a question mark to answer. That was such a lifeless run. Mount Atlas, Gregory, Table Talk, there's so little between them. I can't see how anyone could be confident of having a bet in this race. Arabian Force was disappointing behind Calpana last time. It's going to be a tactical race over a mile and six. Absolute no-bet race for me. Peace Bell, the only one you could probably rule out. And even she's not too bad.
Table Talk is the course and distance winner. Second behind Gregory the last time out. So maybe he could be the one. The John Smith's Cup. I mean, this is over 100. I mean, like, this is when I look at Irish prize money, I'm going, sometimes I think...
Irish prize money is not good, Jedi.
Yeah, we're looking at a £103,000 race at York on Saturday. It's not even the biggest race of the weekend over in England. 3:45 York, what, 22 runners? A mile, two and a half furlongs for the John Smith's Cup. Just taking out the betting here that we're going to look at for the 3:45 on this rattling ground at York. Warrant Holder... is a favourite with Rami. They're the two that are being backed. But you could pick a lot of horses in this one.
Yeah, it's intriguing that Iron Fist, who was third in a premier handicap at the Curve, Jessica Harrington, on the 23rd of May, is basically put in at, 28-1 here, 33-1.
But you know where to ride.
Price.
Wouldn't be going over for nothing.
Not without a chance. Like it's, but your point about prize money, just when the Irish horse go for these races, they are better. I do feel there's a very, very obvious bet in this race. In Warrant Holder, prices kind of come in a bit. This horse sent off 16-5, beaten by another Frankel in opportunity at Royal Ascot, but it wasn't quite of the level of Constitution River in the trip at France. But this horse did not have a good trip the last day. Wide, ridden by William Buick, just with the way he was drawn, he kept him wide, kept him out of trouble. And then after traveling well into the race, he basically kind of took it up too early. And basically was done in the closing stages, but dropping back slightly in trip here.
The previous run he won over course and distance.
Yeah, and he was very good that day, beating Thunder Run. He was a little bit keen, which isn't unlike a Frankel necessarily, but he's drawn 9 here, so I imagine his jockey should be able to just Robert Havlin should be just able to give him some sort of a cover. He's not a great price, but like he's the same mark as when a shorter price of Royal Ascot in what couldn't have been a worse race. So there's a huge case to be made for him that he's been left on the same mark. Some of the other horses, Hand of God won at Newbury the last day.
For the Maradona fans,
yeah. With the RG still in the World Cup after the drama of the Egyptian game. Romy is a Roger Varian sort of improver, hasn't run over beyond a mile yet. He's an intriguing horse. Hand of God is by Churchill. Danger Bay for Ed Bethel and Danny Tudhope definitely comes into it as well. And Yabber for Willie Haggis. I just suspect he might be hammered, but like he went up £12 winning from the front at Goodwood. It's not going to be straightforward. I'd be taking him on, but he's a progressive one as well. Brilliant renewal of the race.
What about the 3-year-old down the bottom, Pearl River, 33-1 course and distance winner? Would you give that any chance?
Pearl River is trained by
Richard Hannon.
Yeah, Richard Hannon's horses are going all right. He's second at Salisbury the last. Yeah, he's a horse that probably I didn't give an awful lot of attention to. He's progressed from 75 up to 91. Second at three horse race last year at Salisbury. Why? What attracts you to this lad?
Just the down the bottom as a 3-year-old and course and distance winner. I always do believe in horses for courses.
Yeah,
and some, I do think with 3-year-olds there is improvement. But there's a lot of 4-year-olds, as you said in there, like Iron Fist, that also have improvement, and Warrant Holder to come, and Warrant Holder owned by the King. But does it not say something to me that William Buick rode him to win his last two starts, and he was riding Big Mojo in that July Cup? And maybe he's got other commitments at Newmarket on Saturday. But
yeah,
I'd
say Newmarket's the big one. To be fair, tomorrow, and yeah. I wouldn't read too much into that.
Okay, we have Sam Norris and William Hill on the line. Hi, Sam.
Hi, guys. No Maradona fans here.
You're a messy man, are you?
Yeah, very much so. Maradona's a filthy word this side of the water.
Ah, don't worry. I mean, you're still in the World Cup, and we didn't even get there, so you'd be okay. Are England good? Are they a good price to beat Norway, by the way? Are they being back to beat Norway? I'm sure there's a lot of patriotic money going over there, Sam. I don't know if you're looking at soccer markets. There's only racing you look at.
Yeah, they're always a big loser in the book. I mean, betting-wise, any single tournament we come to, England are usually one of the worst results. Scotland were actually the worst result in the book for us. Obviously, they were a bigger price, but the patriotic pound is always a thing. So, yeah, industry-wise, firm-wise, for the business, it would be good if England didn't go all the way. And we're always hoping that every time an England game rolls around, we maybe get the job done in extra time. But the Mexico result was obviously a bit of a shocker. England winning 90 minutes, over 2.5 goals, Kane, Bellingham, Jimenez. There were loads of cards, loads of corners. Cost us a few quid, that one. But if we can keep getting England to do it in extra time all the way, that's probably the friendliest way for us, if you like, to see them progress.
They said about big books that it was a license print money when you're running the stairs hurdle at Cheltenham. Mm. You must be it was a license print money, taking as much money as you wanted in the world on Scotland. Scotland are hopeless.
Well, yeah, that's it. You know, I kept reporting on various outlets they were our worst results in the tournament, but yeah, we were never too worried about it.
What about then the John Smith's Cup, the race we've been just talking about at York on Saturday, the big handicap of the weekend over the water, 3.45. Johnny likes Warren Tolder and is the favourite, I believe. What's the market telling you?
Yeah, we're more worried about a couple in here, actually. Warren Holder, very much one of them, has been one of the most popular horses since the final decks went up 4-1. He's now really been missed by punters. He came out of a Royal Ascot race, like a load of horses running this weekend, actually ran pretty well at Ascot. Plenty considered him unlucky. He's got York form. So he has been very popular. Castle Stewart was the other one that we laid through the course of the week. He's 16-1. Two big losers in the book at the moment. Rami is 11-1 from 6-1. Unexposed type for Roger Varian. And at really big odds. Feels like often I come on here and we're just talking about horses at single figures that are shortened up. But Dean Manutin, which I can't quite pronounce, I need the Scottish accent to do it properly.
Dean Manutin.
100-1. Yeah, there you go. You guys are a little bit better at it than me, to be fair. He was 100-1. He's 33-1 now. So right. He is a loser in the book at present. He might drift out again tomorrow, but that was interesting. From a trading perspective, we liked Quite a Buffoon and Iron Fist at kind of bigger prices. But it's a well up to scratch winner of this race. 5 places as standard, so you get the extra place no matter what. And we're also going up to 8 with each way extra as well. But a lively betting heat and, you know, really good handicap to get stuck into.
There's money for this Iron Fist into 22s now, Johnny.
There you go. Yeah, it's probably up there with the bet on Scotland, maybe, but has a chance. Like, Jesse wouldn't target any race like that. And it was definitely a weaker race at Curragh, but it was a very good run behind. I tipped the runner-up that day, Unexposed Horse of Paddy Toomey's. Has a chance.
What about this July Cup then, the 4.35 Newmarket on Saturday, the Group 1, Sam? This is a big betting heat. This is a good race.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you couldn't have asked for much more from this race, really, given you've got the Commonwealth Cup winner, the King Charles winner, the Queen Elizabeth first and second lining up. You know, everyone's here, basically. Now, Venetian Sun, who had been the most popular horse of any of them post-Ascot, has been a little bit weak. There's murmurs from Carl Burke's yard that she might be a bit of an iffy runner, Venetian Sun. So she's eased out to 7-2. She's actually been overtaken at the top of the betting by the Japanese horse, Sotono Rev, who's 100-30. Plenty thought he was bitterly unlucky not to win at Royal Ascot, and he might gain some compensation here. We're actually trying to take on the three-year-olds in the race anyway, the likes of Venetian Sun and Mission Central. We think they might be a little bit vulnerable compared to some of the older horses, but it gives you an indication of the sort of strength in depth of the race when I tell you the horses that we've laid the last few days are big prices. The rank outside of Prince of India is 66-1 into 40-1. Quinault is another one that we've had to tighten up, 33-1 into 28-1. These are kind of new market horses. Quinault's actually 2 from 2 here. Prince of India is 1 from 1 at the track. So I think the fact that they're even backing horses at huge prices shows that there is strength in this race all the way down. They made some tweaks to the July Cup and the conditions of the race, which has made it a smaller field, but a much more select field. And I think, you know, the fact that we've got those 3 major Royal Ascot winners lining up suggests that those changes have been most welcome, because I think we've got a really high quality race, and the Japanese horse Totono Rev just favoured at the moment, but we're laying all kinds of horses here.
What do you fancy, Sam?
Now, I'm a long-term fan of Venetian Sun. Obviously, the Carl Burke comments worry me a little bit. I just think she's a fantastic sprinter. Obviously, they had to take their chance in the Guineas. It didn't work. That's fine. She didn't stay. Since dropping back in trip, she's been fine. Only beat Spicy Marg by a narrow margin last time around. That horse could frank the form at Newmarket this afternoon. I'm half tempted to suggest Double Rush at 10-1 here. This horse probably looked one of the best handicapped horses in training. I mean, he went off 4-6 for a Newmarket handicap a couple of starts ago. He's clearly a group horse, as Sheen Murphy booked. The worry is this might come a little too soon in his career, but I think he's a serious bit of kit, Double Rush, and I wouldn't mind that much having a chance on him at 10-1. But win-wise, I thought Venetian Sun would be the way I'd play it, but the comments and the way the market's gone a little cold have worried me a bit.
Navin and Limerick on Saturday, Johnny Sligo and Dundalk on Sunday. It's kind of an, as they say in mass, ordinary time for Irish racing this weekend.
Like six meetings Friday night, Saturday and Sunday. And I mean, there's barely a really good race among them. It's quiet stuff, JD. Kind of, it'll be hard to emphasize, you know, that I suppose the best thing about going to these meetings is how nice the weather is at the moment, and you'll get some nice horses out. I quite not like Navin Flat Race, and that EBF 3-year-old race at 4:07. It's quite a good race.
It's on Saturday.
Yeah, Summer's tomorrow taking on Confuse, quite a promising type. Hard Promise is a very interesting runner, maiden by Pinatubo going into the race, but it's quiet enough stuff, and I don't envy the ground staff trying to keep conditions nice, at, you know, keep conditions safe. Cleopatra's Needle in the last race should have a great chance for the Knapp Racing Syndicate off a mark of 50.
This is the 5:15 on Saturday.
Yeah.
Knapp and Mile and Two. Cleopatra's Needle, number 8, Chris Hayes riding.
Yeah, and Harry Rogers hopefully will have a winner or two at Galway, but yeah, very good chance and should have the whole length of the straight to get going off 50 based on hurdles form.
You're doing a lot of racing TV work. When you're talking to connections after races, are there a lot of them putting horses into the mix for Galway? Is that a big target for a lot of?
Yeah, I'm actually in Mallow tonight, which is a jumps meeting. So definitely this time of year, I'd start talking about Galway. Even I like the nursery in Galway on the Saturday. It's one of my favourite races of the meeting. And if there's a reasonable 2-year-old winner, you'd start asking the trainer about that horse. And it's a brilliant meeting. Like, you know, I was speaking to a Scouser guy who's gone over yesterday, Jack Reddy, who works in the industry, and he can't wait to go. And it's just a very, very much a fun meeting, but a hard place to get a winner. So you'd definitely be talking to connections.
What's your favourite day, Galway?
Probably the Friday night. I think that's become the. That's just.
There's not even any racing on at that time.
I think the big race on the Friday night is the. Is the mile and a half handicap.
It's the Guinness handicap.
Good
it?
Race, yeah. Like the Saturday and the Sunday for me are definitely in the realms of, yeah, okay, I need a break here. But the Friday night has become a really big part because it's a Friday night in Galway. But Galway, like, there's no place like Galway. Of all of how much Ireland has changed with globalization, you know, immigration, all of that, Galway just seems to have kind of stayed constant. It's just hasn't really changed.
You ever been to the Galway races, Sam Norris?
Sadly, because it clashes with Goodwood every year, we're always really, really busy. But I'd love to go to Galway. Whether or not I stay the 7-day trip, I don't know about that. But I might have to take a truncated trip. But yeah, it's one of those that's on the bucket list, isn't it? But it's a shame it clashes with Goodwood every year.
I've never been to Goodwood. Goodwood, good, Sam?
Yeah, very nice. A long, long old way down there. And it's a dreadful place to be when the weather is not nice. You've got very little cover from the elements. But when the weather is nice, there won't be too many better race courses, I don't think, on the flats in England than Goodwood. It very much is glorious when the sun shines, but it's tough going there on a bad day. I remember the year Ribchester won one of the big races of the Glorious Meeting anyway, and it was hot deep that year. Weather conditions were absolutely filthy, but like a lot of places, I guess. But yeah, we'd love to do Galway one year.
Anything else we should know about market-wise for the weekend, Sam?
We should mention we've got our Epic Boost going live at 9 a.m. tomorrow, rolling those out each and every day of the July meeting at Newmarket. So that'll be one that punters want to check back in with us for from 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. I guess the other races we've got on the card, the Superlative Stakes, Abraham Lincoln, had been very strong in the betting. He's a little bit weak now. Last couple of days or so, we've shortened up Al Hudaybah. This has kind of more been Charlie Appel's race than it has Aidan O'Brien's over the last few years. Aidan did win it with City of Troy a few years back, but Charlie's won the last two, four of the last six, and Al Hudaybah is 2-1 from 130 in the Superlative. And the Bunbury Cup's the other kind of big betting handicap of the weekend. That's at Newmarket. It's another extra place race. Aalto is the bogey in the book there. Won it 2 years ago, second in the race last year. But we're still laying him top price at 4-1, so he's one that you can maybe come and take us on with AL. So in the Bunbury Cup, which is 3.25 at Newmarket.
It's time now for Johnny Ward's charity bet here in the Racing Pod this week. If you're going to have a go yourself, folks, do it please responsibly. You've got €50, Johnny, to spend, 25 each way or 50 on the nose. What do you like?
50 on the nose, Warren Tolder in the John Smith's Cup.
That is just emphatic from Johnny Ward there, just to go through the details for that. That is York on Saturday, 3.45, the John Smith's Cup, 50 on the nose on Warren Tolder for Johnny Ward. And we're going to get a price for that horse of 7-2, 4-1. You're going to give us the 4-1, Sam, aren't you?
Give it a 4-1, absolutely. It's for a good cause. And fair play to Johnny. It's just the toughest handicap of the week. Win only €50 straight in. I like it.
Warren Tolder, yeah. 4-1, 3.45 on Saturday at York is Johnny Ward's charity bet this week on the Racing Pod.
Yeah, hopefully it does better than last week's one, which, yeah.
Don't beat yourself up.
Yeah,
it's the day.
If I tip up a horse and it's slashed in the market, I that's a victory and the horse may run. If I tip up a horse and it's friendless in the market and runs accordingly, I find that hard to take. But sometimes you just have to look and not give up on the horse. And that is one from last week. But I told plenty of people who haven't really been talking to me since.
On that note, we're going to finish the Racing Pod this week. Folks, if you're going to have a nibble on a horse, do it responsibly. Sam Norris, thank you.
Thank you. I backed that horse with Johnny last week, by the way, but I'll keep talking to you, Johnny.
Thanks, Sam.
Johnny Ward, Sam Norris, thank you so much, folks. That was the Racing Pod for this week. Don't forget, it's free wherever you get your podcasts on Off the Ball every Friday. We'll speak next week. We look forward to having your company then.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.